Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is Synergy.
Today, let's continue with what I'm going to share with you guys about us as a community, us as a mission. And again, why we exist as First Light Church is that we believe our identity is in Christ, and we are empowered by His grace for His mission to bring His gospel to all nations. Amen. As I say, nations is not limited to a political, geographical location, but nation is people group. And in one sense, you and I have our own people group, right? And we call this people group our sphere of influence or our circle of influence. So in one sense, some people may be called to a certain people group, and God may give them the power, the anointing to influence that people group for the gospel's sake. And all of us are called. Amen? Right. You know something interesting? The word missionary doesn't appear in the Bible. Right. But the word believers appears in the Bible. And the word say go and make disciples appears in the Bible. So it means those of us who are believers, we are also disciples. And disciples making disciples. Amen. So all of us are missionaries. All of us are in mission. And we are always asking the Father to show us who we can shine for Christ. So this is our vision, that we can shine for Christ anytime, in any place, to anyone. And as I said before, for the past couple of weeks, about how Paul himself have to make the shift of understanding the method of bringing the gospel. The message of the cross is what I call unchangeable. But our methods, our ministries, format and style, we can change with it. But it's important, as we hear where God is leading us as a church in First Light, it is important to say that sometimes we need to know what the Lord is doing. Isn't it? Yeah. That's why many times, as believers, the Father doesn't want us to do so much as He invites us into His presence. Yeah. Jesus understood this principle very well. Even His disciples later understood it and asked Him, teach us how to pray. They realized praying was not so much trying to tell God what to do, but praying was a relationship they want to build up with the Father. And they realized the more Jesus was intimate with the Father, Jesus knew He was a person on assignment. He knew when to go and how to go about doing it, isn't it? Now, and many times you read through the gospel, He takes detours. He ended up in Samaria. He went through a situation that He shouldn't be in. They were what I call political enemies. Right? No Jews will be caught in a Samaritan territory, but he went to reach out to a Samaritan woman. Right? No self-respecting Jews will have a conversation with a tax collector, much more a chief tax collector. And then how Zacchaeus himself was set free. And when Zacchaeus was set free, his whole community was set free indeed. So this is what it means for us as believers, that God always put us on assignment. And when we are prepared to hear where God is leading us, something powerful happens. And when Jesus was going to go to heaven before His ascension, in Mark chapter 16, verse 19 to 20, this is what He said to them. And after the Lord has spoken to them, what did He say to them? Go and make disciples of all nations. Isn't it? Go, right? Teaching and baptizing them. But you go and make disciples of all nations. Then after He has spoken to them, He was received into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. He is the only high priest who is sitting down. He's finished His work. But now He has commissioned His church. He has given us authority and power to do His work. Amen? He has given us the same authority that He had from the Father. And now He said, now you have it. As Christ is, so are we in this world. We are His hands, we are His feet. And this is interesting. Verse 20 tells us, and they went out and preached everywhere. Everyone say together, they went out and preached everywhere. Sometimes people ask, is God calling me to India? Is God calling me to China? Don't worry about that. Just preach everywhere. If you so end up in India, preach in India. If you end up in China, preach in China. If you end up in Crown Casino, preach in Crown Casino. But I don't know, I won't ask you how you end up there, right? But preach everywhere, right? But say, we preach everywhere, don't be preachy. Preach as to proclaim and bear witness to the power of the cross. And he said, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. The Lord working, right? The word working in Greek is called synergio. That is where we get the word synergy. Everyone say synergy. Right? And sometimes as believers, we sometimes have this kind of habit that I am serving the Lord or I'm working for the Lord. Actually, the gospel truth is we are not working for the Lord. The truth is the Lord is working with us. Because, that's right. Confirmation. There's a sign. Is there accompanying signs? Whoever it is, I'm going to have a talk with you of the word now. Should I move in the prophetic now? I can track you down. Now, the thing is this. The Lord is working with us. When we think we are working for the Lord, mind you, sometimes the Lord may not give us assignments. We went about doing it. We want to do it our way. Sometimes we forge the Lord's signature. Right? We forge his signature. We think he gave us a contract to do something. He didn't. The apostles or the missionaries or even us believers, the Bible often uses the word the sent out ones. Those who have been sent out. Like Paul and Barnabas was sent out by the church. Right? Philip was sent out by the church. You look at many occasions how believers were sent out by the church. We are the sent out one. We are not the went out one. The sent out one and the went out one is different. You can go anywhere you want. We call you a tourist. You can see what is happening. You can enjoy the seasons. But if God did not send you, right, you have to pay your own way. But if God sends you, he will provide, he will strengthen, he will give you divine appointments. Amen? Always believe, every day we wake up, don't be a went out one. Be a sent out one. Sometimes you talk to someone, you know, about where God is calling them in their life. They tend to be very spiritual, but God did not send me. Oh yes, he did. Preach everywhere. But how then do I distinct whether God has asked me to go to a certain place? Then there is a time of growing, a time of discerning. But don't often try to be using spiritual language to shirk your Christian calling. But rather say, Lord, if you send me, you show me. When I was living in New Zealand, I came across this old lady and she was sharing this story about how she loved to read the Psalms every morning. And one particular morning, she was reading and this Kairos moment, you know, the Rhema moment where the word of God jumped at her and the word of the psalm was, go up to the mountains. And right where she's staying, there was a mountain in front of her. So she was just, oh, yeah, it's a mountain. Then she read again, go up to the mountain. And he said, Lord, are you telling me to go up to the mountain? Silence. He read again, go up to the mountain. He said, Lord, you're telling me to go up to the mountain. So she took a bus and this bus takes her all the way to the bottom of the mountain, right? And then she was at the bus stop looking at the mountain. Say, Lord, do you want me to go up the mountain? And she sends the prompting. Say, all right. And she's pretty old. And she starts to walk up slowly up the track. If you go to New Zealand, thank God, you don't need to go all the way. There's a lot of resting point, right, up the mountain. And he came to the first resting point. He saw there was a car. And saw there was a young man. And he said, Lord, do you want me to talk to the young man? And she went, and that young man was about to commit suicide. He drove that morning to that particular place to jump off, so-called the edge. And that old lady say, young man, you cannot die because the Lord asked me to go out to the mountain. You are my assignment. I'm going to share with you about his love. And then he brought this man to faith. And the man was gloriously saved. And now the lady say, you have a car, now you drive me back. This is what it means, the Lord working with us. See, too often we think, God, I'm doing this for you. No, no, no. God say, I'm working this through you. And that's why Paul says, the power that is in me, I can do all this is because of the grace that's working in me. And that's why once you know the grace of God is working in you, you do not suffer from burnout. And it's interesting. Just do it. Just preach the gospel, and God will always give you accompanying signs. So on Monday night, I was at life group, and we were having prayers, and suddenly the Lord say, pray for those who have problems sleeping. Then I open my eyes. I said, everyone here, they sleep very well. It's just the problem, they don't get enough sleep, but they don't have problems sleeping. Right? Say, the Lord, just pray. Say, are you sure? I say, all these people, this person next to me. I won't tell you who the person is, but it's not Fiona. I say, she sleeps very well. I look at Jeremy, he sleeps very well. I look at Evie, he sleeps very well. He's looking and round. Say, never mind. I say, Lord, is this from you? I'm just going to pray. See, there are times where God speaks. We're like Peter, we have a lot of arguments, a lot of dialogues, how it's going to be done. Just do it. So I just say, Lord, someone here may have a problem sleeping. Just let them go home. Have a good night's sleep. Whoever it is, you know who they are. You sort it out. But I'm going to pray it. And next day, I got a text from someone saying, you know, my mom having insomnia. And I heard you praying. I received their prayer on her behalf, and she slept very well that night. See? This is what the Lord is working with us. So when the Lord prompts us, or the Lord so-called lead us, He will always have accompanying signs that will show us that, yep, I'm working with that. Now, the next question you will say is, how do I know it's from God? The only thing I can tell you is, the only way you know it's from God is, I learned this from Mr. Smith Wigglesworth, be full of His word. When you are full of His word, you are full of His will. But you know His word so well, you can hear His voice, because my sheep hears my voice. There's no shortcut, sorry, you know. There's no shortcut, I'm telling you guys. If you really want to hear God specifically speaking to you, whether in the spirit or audibly, I heard God speak to me audibly a couple of times, but not all the time. Okay, I'll tell you, most of my Christian life, I still based on the word of God. Yeah. Because sometimes you can hear wrongly also, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to be a went out one. I want to be a sent out one. So I must be full of the word. Right? Full of the word. As I say, don't study the word of God religiously. You know what I mean? By now, you should know as we preach the gospel of grace, we know we read the word of God because we want to have intimacy with the Father. So know that the Father is talking to you. And so when you know the Father is talking to you through His word, so when you step out into the world, when the Father leads you, you can hear Him very clearly. And this is what synergy is. Synergy is where two or more agents produce a combined effect greater than their separate effects. We all know synergy is what we call, in other words, teamwork, isn't it? By yourself, you can do that much. But when you play off, whether in a football match or a basketball match as a team, or you work in a management as a team, you produce what? A combined effect greater than separate effects. Hallelujah. So the Lord is working with us. The Lord trusts us. Do you know God has pure faith about us? When God sees you, He's full of faith. Why I say that? Because long before the foundation of the world, God already knows you. He already knows your name. Then He purposed at certain time, certain place, you come to know Him. And when you come to know Him, He will help you to fulfill the purpose He thought of millions of years ago before the creation of the world to get you to where you are. Amen? And so when you know God, have you thought about Cheryl or Chandra or Anton? When He sees you, He never shakes. He said, "Ayo, I need to aspirin." God never says that. God said, "I am full of faith because I thought of Cheryl or Chandra or Anton long before they came, long before I even created the world. And now they know me, I purpose them to fulfill their destiny." Remember, God says, "Let us make man in our image." So therefore, the word image, if you go to the understanding, is that we can have a purposeful relationship because we and the Father share a kind of kinship. But then, God also knows not everyone wants to know Him. There will be those who reject Him. And then Jesus say, "Don't worry, I'll die for them. I'll die for everyone who does not know you. I'll take that sin upon myself that they can fulfill the purpose you taught for them such a long time ago." And so Paul says, when Christ died, we all died with Him. Amen? Because God is not interested to try to rehabilitate you. He is not interested trying to help you go to self-recovery because yourself is what got you into sin. So you died. And when you believe, you are a new creation. And that's just when the Holy Spirit said, come in. The Holy Spirit said, I will fill every new creation because you have a purpose for them. And when I fill them, I empower them. The Holy Spirit is not here trying to sort out our past life. Hallelujah. Because it's dead. Say to your neighbor, you are so dead. You are so dead. Right. Hey, don't carry too far. Huh? Some of you sound like mafia. You are so dead. Yeah. But you get what I'm saying? So don't spend your life trying to sort up your past. Now you are a new creation. The Holy Spirit has come to give you power. He's giving you gifts and talents, ministries, so that you are already called right before you were born. And your calling is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And your calling is empowered by the Spirit. So don't try to say, I'm still waiting for God to call me. God has called you. But sometimes He calls us to specific assignments. I'm telling you, people, there are. My theology is very simple. And it's right. God's will is always green light until there's a red light. Many of us are taught that God's will is always a red light and we are waiting and waiting and waiting for a green light to come, then we can move. No, no, no. Go back to scripture. Paul knew he was called to preach the gospel, right? Green light, green light, green light, until there was a red light. He was stopped twice specifically. And then he waited and the Lord directed him through the vision of the man from Macedonia, come and help us. He went and then it's totally different. And then you notice about Paul, green light, green light, green light, under red light, Jerusalem. He waited, trusted the Lord, green light again, all the way to Rome. Sometimes I think we like to use red light before green light because it sounds very spiritual. Oh, I'm still waiting for the Lord. I'm still hearing God. Meanwhile, they do nothing. But I always tell people, just keep on doing what God has favor upon you, your gifts, your talents, your sphere of influence. But sometimes God can specifically call you to impact a certain individual. So like Philip, he got whole city saved. He was doing Bible study one day, doing grace discovery course. And then the Lord said, it's time for you to go to this desert. Philip can say, hey, Lord, I got 10,000 members right now in my church. Right? Just one person, make no difference. God said, you go. You go. And then he brought the Ethiopian eunuch to faith. And this man, according to church history, brought his whole nation to faith. See, Philip has an anointing first as a deacon that he served few people, a smaller community. Because he was faithful, God opened opportunity for him. He impacted a city. And when he impacted a city, the Lord says, now I want you to impact a nation. Think about it, people. You think when Philip was wiping the table, giving up soup to all the widows, he would think one day he could just touch one life that would change the whole nation? Most of us are in that position. We think it's not possible. Who says? Today, your faithfulness in doing which is the green light right now, one day God can open doors for you to touch lives and speak to power. I've got people who make policies, people who have the power to make a difference in the nation. Some of you look like, See, you're still looking at yourself. Remember I said earlier, you are so dead. Don't look at yourself anymore. Look at what God can do to you through His Holy Spirit. Amen? So I'll talk about healing. I'll talk about healing, right? Specifically on assignment. How do we pray for those who are sick? How do we heal people? Basically, we just need to bear a few points here. Healing is not just physical healing as far as Scripture is concerned. If you go to the Scripture, God always announced His shalom. The kingdom is always shalom, His peace, His perfect peace, His completeness. That's why Jesus said, he will heal someone, He often say, go in peace. So when people are not in shalom, whether they are sick or they are broken in relationship. You see, Jesus was not just fixing people's physical problem. He was also dealing with their emotional situation and their relationship situation. Isn't it? So healing is total, not just praying for the sick, but us being peacemaker, being minister of reconciliation. bring people into a relationship with the Father and relationship with one another. If you want to be a peacemaker, let me tell you one thing. Be prepared to be misunderstood. Because everyone wants you to be on their side. But if you are a peacemaker in the Lord, hallelujah, the scriptures say you are sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Now, I talk about healing. Question is this. Are there hindrances to healing? Are there? Come on, speak to me. Are there hindrances to healing? Are there hindrances to healing? Come on, with more passion. Are there hindrances to healing? Yeah. Only if you believe there are hindrances. See, before we pray for people, our mind, something, oh, maybe this, maybe that, a lot of hindrances. But actually, only if you believe there are hindrances. Okay? What if I tell you the gospel tells us there is no more hindrances to healing? And too often, I think we don't see things taking place is because we think there are some kind of hindrances. We can say, oh, there's sin in the camp. The person did not have enough faith. Or God is trying to teach the person a lesson. Or people say God is making him more spiritual through this sickness. You get that? People will tell you this sort of thing, that, oh, God is teaching me something, or God is punishing the person because of something he has done, or this is the consequence of sin, this and that. And when we give all these so-called reasons and excuses, then we are creating an atmosphere of hindrances. But what if the gospel tells us there is no more hindrances? Okay, I just want to share with you just this one point, and we will close. Praying in the reality of the new covenant. The old covenant is about doing. The new covenant is done. The old covenant is about what man must do to gain favor with God. Right? If you do what the law asks you to do, you are blessed. If you break the law, you are cursed. But in the new covenant, all things have been done for us in Jesus' name. It is really done. When Jesus say on the cross, it is finished, it is not just, oh, finally, I'm giving up. But the word it is finished is a legal or business transaction. Because remember when he was 12 in the temple, his parents looking for him, what are you doing? Where are you going, my son? He said, do you not know I'm here to do my father's business? Because in those days, the son take over the father's business. And what is the father's business? God, lucky or not, or maybe you don't know, God himself has a vision statement. You know what's God's vision statement? None shall perish. That is his family business. None shall perish. And so his son take over the business. And so in those days, when people make a business deal, when they agree to the price, they agree to everything else, they will say, it is finished. That means it is a legal transaction. It is done. So when Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished, it means whatever he was set out to do as a son to take over the father's business, he has already accomplished it. And because he has done so, when we pray, we're not praying for victory. We are praying to enforce the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Too often, can I say to you guys, we make prayer into a better ground than not seeing prayer as entering into a courtroom. We make spiritual warfare as we are fighting the devil on our own without any resources and forgotten that we have all things in Christ. Think about it. Many times we use spiritual warfare languages thinking prayer becomes a warfare. But you look at how Jesus understands prayer. He says, it's always settled in the courtroom. The widow who was seeking vindication, remember? He implored the corrupt judge. And she went many times until the judge says, I will hear your case and I'll settle it for you. Jesus tells us prayer is not a battlefield. But prayer is entering into his court and open up the legal documents. What has been done? Do you know you and I have a place in the courtroom today? Just in case you don't know, let me show you. Ephesians chapter 2, 5, 6. Even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together. Say, make us alive together. With Christ, right? By grace you have been saved and raised us up together. Say, raise us up together. And may us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So today the believer is sitting in the heavenly place. But Pastor, I'm here. Yeah, you are here. But as God is concerned, you are sitting with Him in heavenly places. See, sometimes you need to be in a diplomatic service, or you need to be an ambassador to understand. When you are an ambassador of one country to another country, let's say you are an Australian ambassador, you go to the United Kingdom. You represent your country. So your embassy is actually Australian ground. So although you are in UK, in the United Kingdom, your embassy represents the Australian government. So although here you are on earth, your citizenship is in heaven. You are representing the kingdom, and you are the kingdom's representative. You are not in the mission field as much as you are the mission going in to make a difference. Just in case some of you are not convinced that prayer is in a courtroom, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. Right? Jesus, as our great high priest, sympathizes with our weaknesses. He knows we are weak. We can't do anything. But He represents us. He's our great perfect high priest. Hallelujah. So because now we are in the heavenly place, He says here, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word in time of need is in Greek called eukaros, means all the time. It's not when you are needful, or the idea is that when you have a need, but really the idea is there's always the ample supply of provision and protection where we can come boldly to the throne of grace. That means now we pray for a new covenant. We don't need to say prayers that, Lord, I was taught that way. We must be humble when we pray. We say, Lord, we are not worthy to come before you. And we feel good about that. Lord, we're not worthy to come before you. But God says, but I make you worthy. I make you my sons and my daughter. Oh Lord, we are not worthy for you to hear our prayers. In fact, Lord, I don't even expect you to answer this prayer. Now, can I ask you people, do you think that's prayer of faith? That's called prayer of unbelief. You're not praying for God to do something. In fact, you are giving God reason not to do something. And sometimes we come together as a believer, and so someone say, Lord, we're not so worthy for you to hear our prayers. And someone say, Lord, we come before you, we pray for sunshine, we pray for wonderful weather for our church picnic. Someone comes and say, Lord, I'm a farmer, give me rain. And then you become a pastor, you heard everyone's prayer, right? Then what are you going to do? You're closing prayer. Lord, thy will be done. And here is a father in heaven saying, what is this? Multiple choice prayer. Who am I supposed to answer? This brother, this sister, or the pastor's prayer? You get what I'm saying? Because none of us are praying with a revelation according to the finished work is done. How do we know it's done? Okay. Basically, let's go to the next text. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, 24. But you have come to Mount Zion. Here, Paul was trying to distinguish for the Jewish believer between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion, right? So he said, now you are in Mount Zion. Everyone say, Mount Zion. You have come. Remember, you've seen heavenly places. You are coming before the throne of grace. But just in case you don't understand, Paul put one more thing for you and say, by two or three witnesses, I will establish you are in the kingdom. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Wow, this is a very good way to usher people into the church, right? You have come, right? To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. So are you registered in heaven? Yes or no? Yes. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men make perfect. So the righteous people, all who have gone to the Lord, are all there looking at you. Come, 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 come. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You come to the great general assembly, to the innumerable angels, to all of us. Wow, wonderful people. But not as wonderful as verse 24. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel was the first blood sacrifice ever mentioned. But the blood of Jesus has greater effect than the blood of Abel. And this is the mediator of the new covenant. That means when I pray for someone, I'm not hoping for God to do something. I go to the pages of the scripture, especially the new covenant, and I begin to tell the Lord, Lord, this is legal when I bring to you. I'm not praying something as a wishful list or giving you a multiple choice to you. You just answer one will do. I remember when we were young in school, when we never prepare for our test. Then we have a multiple choice question. What do? We have a square rubber. We put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then we just throw. Right? And hopefully we pass. No, we never pass. We failed because we didn't prepare. But it's a good thing. Yeah? God doesn't do that. But Jesus, who is the mediator of the new covenant. So when I pray, I'm praying that God, when I pray for someone to be healed, I'm praying that, Lord, you have done it so because by His stripe we are healed. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm praying for what has been done for us already. I'm not asking God to do something. I'm asking God that we are walking in agreement. Right? Now, sometimes we quote Matthew chapter 7, all context. Do not judge, for you shall be judged. But do you not know Matthew 7 is not addressed to Christians, it's addressed to Pharisees? Because Jesus didn't say, you hypocrites. Are you a hypocrite? If you're not a hypocrite, that means you must be a believer, isn't it? Hallelujah. So sometimes Christians say, oh, we shouldn't judge people. Who said you shouldn't judge people? You just cannot be judgmental. But you must judge. Now, why I say sound very complicated, but let me unpack to you guys. Do you not know you are kings and priests? Yes, Revelation says we are king and priests. As a king, grace reign through righteousness. So if you enter into a situation, let's say something happened to Cheryl's life, that you can see the grace of God has been blocked or been truncated, you as a king, do you not see that grace reign through righteousness? Let's say this sister has been caught in condemnation or this sister has been caught in a situation and you are speaking the grace of God restoring someone. Are you not exercising your right as a king? You are reigning over the person's situation because you are judging that your life has gone amiss by the enemy. And I want to speak the grace of God to you. And you not know you are a priest? And what did it say for us? By the mouth of the priest, every controversy is settled. Think about it, people. So it means I'm not here to judge someone being judgmental. Oh, you're a lousy Christian. Oh, you are like that. But I come to a situation and say, someone has done wrong to you, or this situation is not of God. And I am coming to judge a situation is not of God. And I'm going to speak forth His righteousness to be established in this situation. And by the mouth of the priest, because I'm a priest, so are you. Every controversy is settled. And let me just close with this sharing that happens to me years ago when I went to America for a conference. And this couple brought me and my best friend to this conference. And they say that, look, guys, the Lord has blessed us tremendously. We want to bring you to America. We want to bless you. So don't worry, eat anything you want. Better than curry puff. Now, we're going to bless you. The Lord has asked us to be on assignment to finance you. Wow. Right. So this couple, wonderful couple, treat us really like kings. Take care of us, bring us to all the best eating places, everything else. And then on the second day, what happened was this, is that they lost all their money. They have brought with them a couple of thousand US dollars and they just cannot find it. And they were frantic and because we were going to go out, they were in another room and say, what's taking them so long? And we went to the room, everything was just, overturned, say, we lost our money. We do not know where it is. We do not know someone broke in or whatever. It's all lost. Now, this is when you need to be judgmental. Something wrong has been done. This is not of God. So, with my friend, we held hands with them, said, look, don't cry anymore. What has been done is not of God. Today, as priest, as king, we're going to issue a verdict that what enemy has meant for evil, Lord, you're going to turn it for good. So we were holding hands, we were praying in the spirit, as God is my witness, and He is, that money appeared right in the middle of the floor. Hallelujah. Some of you, come on, give God a clear offering. Praise Him. Because I'm teaching you this. Why? I'm teaching this. It's what the gospel is teaching us. See, gospel tells us all these stories about individuals who have needs. But when Jesus comes in, all their needs are met. One day you could be the crippled person. One day you could be the grieving person. One day you could be the person that lost all things. One day you're a person whose life priority is all wrong. But when Jesus comes in, He is the King. He is the priest. And that King of ours reigns in righteousness. And then when He's opened His mouth, every controversy is settled. How much more that He has made us sit in heavenly places today, people. That when we enter into a relationship, whether it's our marriage, whether it's our family, whether it's our business, where there is conflicts happening, judge it. I say, but don't be judgmental. Judge it according to the finished work of the cross. Judge it according to the reality of the new covenant, that this is wrong. This is injustice. This is not right. By the word of the priest, every controversy is settled. As a king, grace reigns through righteousness. So don't go in life boo-hoo-hooing all the time. Oh, poor little me. No, you are not poor little you. Because as He is, so are you in this world. So judge your sickness. Judge your circumstances. Judge situation in the reality of the new covenant. It is finished. Let's all rise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.